Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, and the readings are from Cycle A.
May I see a quick show of hands? Anybody in here still have Christmas decorations up? Hands up. Hands up, keep them up. All right, people that are listening on the podcast, there's a lot. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? What's the matter with you? Well, I hope you're not ashamed of yourself because it's still Christmas, and in fact, it will be until midnight tonight. But Christmas is almost over, even for those of us that string it out a really long time. We celebrate Christmas all the way up to the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. But tomorrow is my favorite day of the year, the biggest feast. You know the one? Bingo, ding, ding, ding. The lady in the front row got it. It's Monday of the first week of ordinary time. It's a festival day. Monday of the first week of ordinary time. Can there sound like anything that like is less important than that? But it's completely important because of the story arc. This year, Advent was on December the 1st. We've been in the story arc of Advent and Christmas all the way from December the 1st until today, the 12th of January. And if you and I paid any attention spiritually at all, then we've been soaking up the grace. We've been pondering and trying to invite the incarnation, that thing that happened to Mary, to kind of happen to us. You get it? It's not just about Christmas celebrating something that happened long ago and far away to somebody else. As pretty as that is, it's dull. It's a story about somebody else far away, long ago. We are not invited to be spectators of the power of Christ in the world and think, well, isn't that nice for Mary? You and I are invited to be at the heart of the message. In fact, that thing that happens to Mary, let's remember the story if you can. You remember when Mary is just this teenage girl, saying her prayers maybe, or maybe just hanging around? Do you remember that visitation story? The church celebrates it on March the 25th. Why do you suppose it puts the visitation on March the 25th? Everybody that's recently given birth here? That was 9 months before Christmas. This angel visitor comes to Mary and says, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And right away she's freaked out that an angel visitor is talking to her, and the first words out of this angel's mouth are, Hail, Holy One, the Lord is with you. Then the angel has to say, Don't be afraid, because obviously Mary's getting afraid. No, I'm here because I have this wonderful, wild idea that God has dreamt up. But it involves you. What do you think about this, Mary? How would you think about having God's child? Well, immediately, Mary comes up with a dilemma. But I'm not even dating anybody. I'm not even seeing anybody. How's this going to happen? And the angel says, we got that covered. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and cover you with its shadow. The holy offspring will be called Son of the Most High. What do you think? What does Mary say to that? Somebody speak it out. Nobody in here knows what happens next? And thank you, Leo. I can tell you that's Leo's voice back there. But there's a line even before that. Okay, I'll do it. I am the servant of the Lord. Or sometimes it's translated, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. She knew who she was and what she was. All the time, every day, even on a day when this extraordinary angel comes and pitches her this wild idea. She knew who she was. What did she say she was? I am the servant of the Lord. I can say that. That's very important to me. I am the servant of the Lord, and I call the Lord boss a good deal of the time when I'm praying my private prayers. He doesn't like it, but I do it anyway, just to be annoying. You know? I think he'd rather me refer to him as friend, because he said that in John's Gospel, but sometimes I call him boss just because I, you know, work for him. Can you say it and mean it? Can you say from your heart, I am the servant of the Lord? I'm going to give you a second, and I'm going to prompt you. And if that's true of you, say it out loud. If it's very true of you, say it loudly. If it's kind of true of you, say it a little less loudly. If it's barely true of you, mumble. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I am the servant of the Lord. Once more. I am the servant of the Lord. All right, if you understand that you're the servant of the Lord, you don't call the shots. Servants don't tell the boss what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. Servants serve. And if you ask me to do something really wild, well, I didn't see that coming, but let it be done to me according to your word. Go ahead. Yes, I'll take part in that. Now, we know the story well enough to know that it was at some cost. Mary wasn't stupid. She knew that she was going to look like an unmarried pregnant woman in a culture that didn't take kindly to that. You know the story, don't you, that she could have been stoned to death for being an unmarried pregnant woman? She took that risk. She didn't know where this was all leading. She also had this kind of fiancé, this betrothed person, Joseph. She was going to have to explain this to him. There's a whole lot of other, the same thing for you and I. When we sign up and say, I'm the servant of the Lord, we can't expect it to be a bed of roses. There are going to be times when it's going to be very challenging, and we're not going to make ourselves understood to everybody. We just have to trust and do the best we can. Then what's the next part in Mary's story? What's the next story? Where does Mary go next? Go visit Elizabeth. There's the story that's called the Visitation. Remember, she has this cousin, Elizabeth, that's older than her. Elizabeth's old enough that most people think she's never going to have a child. And oops. Oh, by the way, she's pregnant, and in fact, she's 6 months along. Mary decides to go and visit her. Do you think it was just because Mary just had kind of wanderlust and felt like she ought to take a trip? I think that if this woman, Elizabeth, was older and maybe a kind of a difficult pregnancy or whatever, I think Mary set out in service. She went to see what she could do to help. I bet you young families have had lots of people that have been trying to help you because they know that the early part of parenting has a lot of new tasks. There's probably been a lot of hands trying to come around and be helpful in whatever the way they could. Mary was doing that in the early part of her pregnancy, signing up for somebody else's work that she didn't have to do. That's part of how that we make the transition between the end of Christmas and the festival of Monday of the first week of Ordinary Time, is we sign up and we do the work and we go out to the place where the work needs to be done. That was Mary's first impulse. What can I do to help? Even while she's pregnant on her own. And then there's this trip that she's got to take. She said yes. It's all going okay. And then, oh my God, out of the blue comes this census. And now she's way late in the pregnancy and they have to take a trip on the back of a mule. And she does that. Then they get the doors slammed in their face. You know that story. No room here, no room here, no room here. Are you ready for that? When you sign up, yes, I'm the handmaid of the Lord, I'm the servant of the Lord. Will it be okay with you when doors get slammed in your face, or are you going to want to quit? Or you're going to say, well, don't you know who I am? I'm the Lord's servant. She just goes with the flow. Because they trust that if you're the servant of the Lord opens doors that you thought were closed. But there's always going to be a sideway. The Lord always, whenever the Lord gives us responsibility, he also gives us authority and he gives us the means to do what we need to do. And it flows. And it flows. So there's this room. There's place here on this bed of straw. That's going to do for a room. Well, I'm going to be putting all that away tomorrow because tomorrow is not Christmas anymore. I had in my car during the Christmas season, I had my car radio set on this station that played a lot of unhappy Christmas songs. I wonder if you know this unhappy Christmas song. Here's a clue. Elvis sings it. Do you know the name of it? What is it? I have a blue Christmas. Yeah. And no, it's not that one, but thank you for playing. There's an even lesser known Elvis Christmas song that's sad. Can anybody guess it? Why can't every day be like Christmas? It's not a very well known song, and it's not very well sung here. But it's Elvis, I think it's old Elvis, you know? Not young Pelvis Elvis, but old Elvis, singing, why can't everybody be like Christmas? And the tone of it suggests that the answer to that is, of course, it's impossible. Isn't it too bad that every day can't be like Christmas? That's kind of the tone of it. It got in my head and it rattled around all, you know, the way annoying songs do. I kept hearing it all through, why can't every day be like Christmas? And I think it's because I'm supposed to preach this. Because you and I are the people that say, but it absolutely can. That's the whole point. Because you and I do what Mary did. We don't sit and point at her and say, isn't that nice for Mary? Yay, Mary. She's not the one in a million. She's the beginning of the millions and millions. She's the first fruit. She's the pattern for the rest of us to follow. Then it's up to us to listen to the voice of God say to us somehow, would you let the miracle happen in you? Would you let exponential growth happen in you like the early days of pregnancy? When that little tiny thing goes from being one cell to a bundle and then it doubles in size. We're supposed to have that kind of impact in the world. Are you the servant of the Lord? Didn't I hear you say that? Was it just my imagination or did you say that you were the servant of the Lord? Then you can expect exponential growth if you're open to it. And guys, this is one of those occasions where we have to do the gender cross that women have to do all the time. Women say masculine prayers all the time. They talk to God the Father. This time we have to be the ones that imagine ourselves being able to have a child. That we can imagine what it might be like to have new life growing inside of us and give our lives completely over to it and bring that energy out into the world. Are you up for it, men and women of God? You're up to being up to the task that challenges us on the greatest day of the year, Monday of the first week of ordinary time? Yes or no? Yes. Can anybody in the podcast hear that? I know that you mean it. Now, moments from now, we get to kind of enact that by inviting these children to be baptized. These children are already naturally members of the human family, but supernaturally, we ask God to enfold them into service. We ask God to come and live inside of them. The same way that when we receive communion, we ask God to live inside of us. We swallow God. We want God to be in us. We want God to be in these babies. So that's the very next thing that we're about to celebrate. So I'll get out of the way so that that can be the next thing, the next grace that unfolds here.
So I invite the parents, the children, godparents forward.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover. with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.